Hey, welcome to Skeptic Hangout, the place where we sit back, relax, and chit-chat about intriguing and sometimes controversial topics through the lens of skepticism. I am Laura, and I have with me my lovely co-host, Josh, and today we will be discussing abortion. So grab your English tea or your pumpkin spice latte, because that's right, it's that time of the year again, and join us as we discuss one of the hottest topics on the docket today. This is Skeptic Hangout, abortion. Okay, so this is a topic we have avoided doing for a while, actually, as it was really hot and it was here, there, and everywhere, all over just about every platform you can imagine.
Yeah,
So
every single time we were going to bring it up, we aborted the topic.
we totally did.
Well, I think we almost did it one week, and then you had to bail and like, oh, we cannot have just a bunch of guys talking about abortion on the show.
Oh, that is right. Okay, so everybody, it is my I remember. Yes, it is my fault. We have not had this conversation
Oh,
yet. It totally
that
is.
turned out bad on my part. Like, blame the
No,
woman for
but
not
you're
talking about
right.
abortion, man.
But you're
So like,
totally right.
okay, so we already have the sympathetic woman on here, and I'm the asshole misogynist who just like shamed her for us not talking about it earlier.
I don't know. You start telling me what I need to do with my body, and I might start calling you an asshole misogynist, but okay, so abortion, I don't even really know exactly where to go with it because I think that when you talk about the arguments for and against abortion, they've all been done, they've all been said, everybody already knows them. So when it comes to like, well, what are the arguments? What are the pros and cons? Like, I'm almost reluctant to do them, but should we go into them really quick just so that if anyone in the audience happens to have been stuck under a rock, like we can kind of get them caught back up or
Here's the thing. I think the left, and I'm part of the left, and I'm definitely pro-choice. For some reason, my brain always needs like a translation on it because of like pro-life. I'm thinking the mother's life matters instead of, but so my brain needs to like pause for a second to translate. You're pro-choice, not pro-life, because of those monikers don't seem to really mean the right thing to me. It should be anti-choice. And pro-choice is the way it should be to me, because that way it'd be like the opposite of something instead of like going for like two different definitions or two different labels that don't really contradict each other in sounds. So like that's why my brain works so dumb on those kinds of things. But I do think the left tends to like trivialize people on the right who are on the pro-life movement, anti-choice movement, as being like misogynists against women. And I definitely say their actions do result in misogyny against women, but I don't think every single person on that side is trying to be a bad person. It might be the
right.
result. I definitely am putting some judgment against them. If you're one of them, sorry, I'm judging against you. But I do think that we simplify it too much. It's like, oh, they just want to control women's bodies. And that's definitely what happens. I do think their arguments are bad for like they use a lot of like strongly worded arguments that don't necessarily reflect what's going on. Like you're murdering babies, you're instead of like terminating a pregnancy. But I do think a lot of people that are repeating that do believe that's what's going on because they haven't looked into the actual arguments or looked into the definition, and they're hearing right-wing politicians saying that the left wants to abort babies up until 1 hour before they're supposed to get born, despite the fact that that would be a delivery at that point. As soon as
Right.
it's viable, it becomes a delivery, and like all the vernacular is like changed and like hyperbolized into like something that's not even reactive to what happens in the real world. And here I am talking to a woman, and I'm just like taking all the words right now instead of letting you talk.
Like I appreciate your ability to humble yourself with some of these issues and say like, well, here's where I'm at with it, and I need to maybe take a step back. And maybe listen more and talk less. I think that's really, really honorable. But I will say, okay, so you said pro-choice and pro-life, and you're like, I hate the pro-life thing. I wanted to interrupt you so badly then, but we shouldn't even be using those terms anymore. Those are ridiculous terms, but they're made up to elicit an emotional response, and they're made up by the anti-abortion crews to elicit an emotional response. Like, oh, those people want the choice to be able to do what they want, but we are for life. And if their choice is to kill life, then we're against that. And it's all this like really emotional sort of hyperbole that really gets people. It's designed to pull on our heartstrings, and it's manipulative, and it's very effective. So,
go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you were struggling with those terms, and I was just going to offer, like, I keep it exactly what it is, like, pro-abortion, anti-abortion, period. Like, we don't need fancy terms and labels and stuff. Like, what you were saying, they muddy the whole issue, which is one side really does believe that life and conscious life, like, sure, yeah, biological living cells starts at conception. Like, the egg is alive before it's even fertilized, and the sperm are alive before.
I shoot life every day. Like, I like
that right. Like, they're all alive, all yeah, 10 billion of them.
Nobody's crying over them. So, like,
right.
It's the point where they decide that this is a human life, where I think there's debate. Right. Like, there's no debate on whether the fact that the mother is a human life. So, I think that's where the decision, or mother or parent, I don't want to trivialize other people that can get pregnant. I'm still trying to work out like the heteronormative vernacular out of my vocabulary. So if I slip into it, everybody else is still valid. I just have a stupid mouth. But they make it, like, as soon as those things have touched, it's a human life. And I don't think that's quite right, because there's nothing about that I see as human. And there have been plenty of like opportunities where they've been shown, like, they do that trick of like, they'll show like a cow fetus and like, you think this is a human life? They'll say yes. And then they're like, oh, that was a cow. Like, it just shows you, like, at that point, there's no really big difference between what we look like or what we are as beings. Like, yeah, that has the potential for life, but so does a lot of things. A lot of things have a potential for life. There's no reason why that becomes more important than what has decidedly been decided. Like, the person pregnant is 100% decided by, I think, anybody polled to be a life. Nobody's having any debates on that end. So that's where I think we should, it doesn't even really fucking matter, but if that's where your argument is, we should be polling for where there's 100%, agreement on this.
Defining what living tissue is versus a life versus a human life versus a conscious human life, right? Like, I know that there's a lot of argument over people in vegetative states and what should be done about them. Should we keep them alive? Should we let them go? Like, at what point are we responsible for trying to continue to rehabilitate them? At what point are we responsible for allowing that body to die, especially if the conscious mind no longer even is there, right? So even with fully born living human beings that nobody would question as a human being, there's this sort of gray area in question over whether or not that thing is alive. And I realize I just said thing, like, I'm sorry for being insensitive, but like, whether or not that human being is still conscious and alive and able to have thoughts and feelings, or whether it's just a body that's being kept alive. And when you talk about a fetus or an unborn baby, there are points where you can say, okay, that being can exist outside of the womb. That being has a fully formed nervous system and brain. It can think, it can feel, it can respond. But then there's the not so gray area where it's like, no, that is a group of living cells. Like, you can grow them in the petri dish. You can, your skin cells, like, you can separate your skin cells from your body. They don't have conscious thought. There's a grouping of tissues. And what is our legal or moral responsibility to that group of tissues? I think where it gets really complicated is that you have, like you said, you have this sort of religious ideology that I'm going to determine when a soul or a consciousness is put into that tissue, I'm going to make that moral determination, and I'm going to put that moral determination on not just myself, but other people. And that is where I think that the debate gets really, really tense, is not what someone feels about a human baby, but what someone wants someone else to do about it.
Yeah. And like your example about somebody brain dead and you don't know when to take them off life, that has a gray area only because that life isn't attached to somebody else. If you had to keep somebody that was brain dead alive by attaching another human being to them, you would automatically say that was a ridiculous response, and there's no reason for you to keep them alive because and sacrifice somebody else's health or well-being for that person, even if like they're not brain dead, like there's maybe a chance that they could get brought back to consciousness. you would never force somebody to be attached to them, even if it's like their mother or something like that. You would never force them to become attached to them. Right. But for some reason,
force someone to donate a kidney or a liver or anything like that to save another person's life. You can't.
Yeah. So like
force another person.
Like we're kind of talking about whether or not it's a human being or something like that. And I would say even if it was a human being, even if I've shot billions of billions of human beings into my socks, it doesn't fucking matter, because as soon as it's affecting somebody else's body and like they're not viable without the other person could live just fine. You're under no condition, you shouldn't be under condition to be forced to support that life with your own body. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. It seems like a lot of like slut shaming or some shit like that. Yeah. Like you got into that situation, and I still see this to this day of people, you got into that situation because you didn't close your legs. Like there were two people involved at least, maybe more if they were having a real good time, but it doesn't really matter because during sex the person that can get pregnant can revoke permission to their body at any point during the deed. I don't understand why, because it's inside the body, they no longer can revoke permission from their body. Consent should be able to be taken away at any point. That fetus or whatever it is violating their consent by being in their body when they don't want it.
And yeah, it does get really, really emotionally tricky when you start to talk about, well, what if it can survive outside the womb, like what you said. And there is that argument of, well, then what do we do about it? Do we destroy it? Do we deliver it and then like have it survive on, like, so my son was born early and he was in the NICU and he was on machines for the first month of his life, right? He's perfectly healthy 12-year-old boy now. And my body did not grow him through his last month of growth. Like a machine did it, right? And so there's this question, like you said, of I don't think that there's a moral obligation for a person to be forced to put their body through anything that they don't want to put their body through. Like, I think you're right. Consent is consent and can be withdrawn at any time. Consent to sex is not consent to pregnancy. Consent to pregnancy is not consent to continuing the pregnancy. And there are so many different reasons why that person might change their mind at any point throughout the pregnancy. And any of that is valid. I think the more moral obligation is on the society of, well, then what do we do about it? Like, we're going to get occasionally these pregnancies that may be terminated later, or maybe the woman wasn't given access. Some women don't even know that they're pregnant until a lot later, or they're not given access to the healthcare until it's already past the certain number of weeks that they're allowed to have an abortion. So then it's, what is the moral obligation of the society that's forcing that fetus to continue? What is their moral obligation to take care of that fetus? And that's where I think that people want to just push the question away. Like, nope, we don't want to talk about it. We're just going to force parenthood on this person. Because you're not just forcing the birth of the child on them. You're forcing the raising of that child on them too. And sure, there's the argument of, well, you can just put them up for adoption. That in and of itself is also, sure, now you're putting strain on a system. So go for it. Put strain on the system. But you make that decision. You come up with the programs that work. Like these, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of getting a little bit emotional after all, but.
But there's also like people trivialize what a woman's going through the pregnancy. It's not just like their bodies never feel the same. And I know so many friends that have had babies and like they don't never feel the same. They're never able to lose the weight, and like that's a big deal for them. And postpartum is something that's hard for people to go through. I know people that they were okay for a while, and then postpartum just like hit them when they least expected it to happen to them. And that's a big deal. And there's also like when somebody's carried something for 9 months, it might not be so easy to give it up, despite the fact that this isn't the life that you wanted. Your body plays tricks with you with hormones and crap like that. So by the time it's born, like you may have not wanted this baby, and there's going to be some resent for the baby, possibly not 100%. Some people end up liking the babies that a lot of people probably end up liking the babies that they were forced to have or came into a situation where they had, but it's not the life that they wanted. And there could be some resentment put on the baby. And maybe the person's just not like, they're terrible parents, but they can't give up the baby after they've seen it. So like all these kinds of things that we don't even think about when we're just like, yeah, it's a baby. We're going to make it happen. Throw it into adoption. Going to an adoption isn't always like the best idea for anybody. They can end up regretting it afterwards, and then they're always wondering about where the baby's at. Or like that's just undue stress. Or if they got taken care of in an orderly manner. I know people that have had abortions and like not a problem for them. They just weren't in that spot in their life to have it. And so it avoids all that emotional manipulation that bodies can do to parents.
Yeah. So I think one way or another, and I think this is what I hear you saying, and if not, this is at least what I'm going to add, is that one way or another, you're going to have a percentage of pregnant people who end up with various traumatic or psychological negative impacts, no matter what their decision is. Like you hear a lot in churches about like the negative story of the people that have the abortion and they end up going through depression or regretting it or wishing they hadn't had the abortion and having to go through therapy and stuff. And those stories were like rampant when I was a Christian in church. And I can kind of see that with the psychological programming that you've been given, that you've now just killed a human being and
Yeah, people are constantly
like your baby
you
is still now in heaven waiting for you, but you never gave it the chance to be alive. This negative programming that you get can be very, very traumatic. I also know people outside of that community who've gotten abortions, and like you said, it was the right thing to do at the time. They didn't suffer any negative consequences, or even if there were like some minor psychological consequences at the time, they recovered from them and moved on. I think one way or another, really, no matter what you're doing in life, but specifically as it pertains to pregnancy, you can't avoid at least a percentage of the population suffering some kind of negative psychological impact, whether they have the baby, abort the baby, put it up for adoption, keep it, whatever. I think that we use all these on both sides. I think that all these like anecdotal stories are used to try and really catch the emotions and the heartstrings of the people to kind of pull them this way or that way in the debate. But I think it can be made really, really simple, right? Like from my perspective, the number one thing that makes us free is autonomy, the ability to choose what we do with our bodies. I know I can't go out and murder people or go out and rape people or go out and steal and take people's properties. Like I know that there are social boundaries that cannot be crossed, but I have my physical body. I can tattoo it. I can pierce it. I can dye my hair whatever color I want to dye it. I can make decisions for myself. I can gain weight. I can lose weight, right? I have control over my body. I should have control over whether or not I have a DNR, do not resuscitate, right? Whether or not I have a right to assisted death with dignity, right? I feel very strongly that a person should maintain 100% control over their body. And I understand that it gets super complicated when the argument starts to include a viable human being that has already become developed enough to where it's fully conscious. Like, I get that there's a moral struggle there, but I still maintain that the individual's autonomy as the most important thing. If you're not going to force my neighbor to get a kidney transplant to save me from my kidney problems, I don't actually have them, but hypothetically speaking, right? Then you're not going to force me to put my body at risk to save the life of another human being, right? You choose to save it, you choose to put it up for adoption, you choose to do what you want to do with it, but you can't force that other person. And so I think really we let it get so complicated with, and that's just my personal opinion. I know this is Skeptic Hangout. We're supposed to look at things skeptically. We're supposed to kind of look at multiple views. I do hope we can kind of get into delving into the view of the pro-lifers and at least maybe trying to digest it a little bit.
I mean, I tried at the beginning, but then like I started rambling into
my
side.
It falls apart, kind of, huh?
Like I said, I don't think all of them are bad people necessarily, although like that's more like, again, that's translating in my brain. Like they're not all bad people, but it part of me is like, yes, they are. But but a lot of them are coming from a good angle, and like they do believe that these are babies and they do believe that this is the right thing to do. And they see this as murder, despite the fact that that's hyperbolic. That's what a lot of them believe, and it's because it's been propagandized into their brains for so long. And if you hear something from that, from like somebody that they trust, like their pastor or whatever, not sure why they're trusting people in the church when the church is shifty as fuck, but that's a whole other story. But right. they trust those voices, and it gets repeated. It becomes a fact that abortion is murder. Abortion is murder, when it's a more complicated, nuanced issue than that. And like so many of the scenarios that they have in their head aren't happening all the time. They make it sound like people are just like, this is another form of birth control.
And it's that like, bothers me, yeah.
Because abortions aren't easy. They're not cheap. Condoms are much cheaper than an abortion. Or I know a lot of guys won't wear them because it ruins the sensation, and it does a little bit. But like, there's also the pill. They're also working on other things, like, because I know that's not ideal either for
there's
women.
A lot of. I want to come back to the birth control thing, but you were talking about the pro-lifers and how they really believe that there's a life there, like from start to finish, and sort of some of the programming and stuff. And I kind of want to touch on that for a little bit, like not so much what is abortion, is it right or wrong, but I want to talk about the people who are kind of on the side of the pro-abortion or anti-abortion, right? And you've said it a couple of times, like, oh, I want to believe that, like, not all anti-abortion people are, like, bad people, but they kind of are, but they aren't. I really honestly believe that the vast majority of them are not bad people. I think they're exceptionally good people who are exceptionally misled and think that they are doing a really, really good service to humankind in being loving and compassionate, even to the unborn, and they have no fucking idea what they're talking about. Like, now, legislators or politicians, I'm not putting those people in that same pool. I'm just saying the everyday Mary who lives next door or whatever, who's anti-abortion, I think the majority of the lay people are genuinely, genuinely good people.
Here's where I'm going to push back on that, because I do believe that they're the heroes in their own story and that we're fucking monsters to them. I will think that. Because if you're going to stand outside of abortion clinics and call them murderers, if you're going to be able to accuse the other side of being a murderer, you can't be thinking that the other side is good. So there are probably people that are just like, they're misunderstood, and I'm saying they're misunderstood or whatever. But the people, what they're doing, controlling women's bodies, whether or not they're doing this for good reasons or bad reasons, and I think they're doing it for bad reasons, they're performing an evil act for what they think are righteous reasons. Controlling a woman's body, absolutely. Not giving her the choice, or a pregnant person's body, sorry, not giving them the chance to do what they want with their body, it's evil. Voting against that, to me, or even like going in the sidelines, lesser of evil, but still kind of like shitty. If you're not actively supporting a pregnant person's right to have an abortion, I think you're performing an evil act. And I know atheists shouldn't be saying evil, because evil is like a nebulous term, but I think
bad
you're on the
or
wrong
immoral.
Side.
I think it's yes. I think it's bad. I agree. I think good people are capable of very, very bad things for very, very good reasons. And so
good reasons.
Sure. But I think that they're genuinely good intentioned and good hearted is what I'm trying to say. But I do think that the average everyday Joe Schmo person, I think that when they hear these arguments, they're being compelled by bad arguments to believe bad things for good reasons. Does that make sense? Like, if I literally thought that humans were killing babies, I'd be like, that's a shitty thing to do. Right.
I just push back slightly on your language, and I think you mean this, but you keep saying it slightly wrong. They're doing bad things for bad reasons, and you say for good reasons, but you got to add what they think are good
reasons. What they think are good reasons.
Thinking you're doing something for a good reason then is not the same thing as doing something for a good reason. And like, I can probably get along with a pro-lifer, maybe. I don't know. I can't think of anybody in my life who is that I'd get along with right now. So maybe that's tainted it, because I have a bad demographic of people in my life that would be considered pro-life. And maybe Mr. Rogers probably was. There's a Mr. Rogers out there that's like the nicest person ever. He just happens to vote the wrong way. And maybe he's not an a-hole, but I'm going to have like some kind of mental hang up where I can't go into considering them to be a moral person when they're taking away a woman's choice there, or a pregnant person's choice.
It's complicated. Like my ability to both think that their views are wrong and to be able to empathize with them, because like there are lines where I can't do that, right? Like, there are religious behaviors that are just outright harmful. And whether you think you're doing the right thing or not, I think you're wrong and you're harmful and you're bad. I think I can empathize more in certain specific cases. Not that I think that they're right. Like, I want to be perfectly clear to the whole audience. Like, I think that any person who puts a restriction on what someone else can do with their body is bad. I think that's a bad thing to do. It's a bad policy. But I have this weird, uncanny ability to empathize with the type of person who genuinely thinks that they, and I'm not saying that they're okay, bad things for bad reasons that they think are good reasons. Like, I want to make sure I say that clearly. But I see their internal struggle as being really sincere. Like, they really sincerely are trying to save babies. And so for me, it's more about the messaging. It's more about the politicians, the activists. I think that the education out there is shitty and that these people, like, they don't know what the fuck that they're talking about. And it's sad when you can manipulate good people into doing bad things. I'll put it
like, I'll say this. I can understand their point of view better than, like, if they're, like, homophobic or transphobic. I can't excuse that no matter what they are.
That's bullshit.
I've never heard a reason that makes sense other than that their god's a bigot. And, like, that doesn't make, and that doesn't make their god sound like a great thing to be following. But, like, I can understand they got the idea of murder in their head. So, like, yeah, they're absolutely trying to be good people, most of them. There are probably some that are just a-holes.
Some actually, are, I agree.
I've talked to some of them that are just a-holes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a moral issue where I understand where a lot of them are coming from. I just wish they could put a little bit of critical thinking and put the supernatural thinking aside and, like, tell me what the difference is between give me an honest answer. What's the difference is between a baby in your fucking arms and that clump of cells? And if you try to tell me that they're the same thing, I don't think you're engaging critically with it.
I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding about biology and how it works. And for how often female bodies abort pregnancies, and sometimes we don't even know it. Sometimes we just think it's our period, but it is a cell that got fertilized, an egg cell that got fertilized and didn't take for whatever reason. And so we may have periods. We may have a particularly heavy period. We may have what we know to be a pregnancy that becomes a miscarriage. It happens all the time, right? And there's just no, those same people understand that that is a physical biological function, that there's nothing morally wrong there. But there's this sort of what's that?
We haven't even talked about, like, medical issues like ectopic pregnancies that people are, they're not able to do, like, perform things on because doctors are afraid of losing their licenses because, and they're telling them to go home and wait in the tub. And once your tub's red enough, that's when you come into the doctor when it's almost too late to do anything and people are dying. And I see people just, like, trivializing it, like, oh, it doesn't happen all the time. No, you're just now starting to hear reports about it. It's gonna happen a lot. A lot of times with that, some of these people wanted to get pregnant. They wanted the baby. They don't want an abortion, but that procedure to save their lives is technically an abortion. So, like, they're missing all the nuance with these issues. They're killing women who would be generally, some of them may even have been pro-lifers, but the pregnancy was going wrong, and it's like either they both die or the fetus dies. And they're missing all the nuance there.
Yeah, no, it's really, really sad because there's a lot more to it. Like, people try to sort of, like, I heard it, God, I wish I could remember which politician it was that said it, that was like, oh, they're just, the president's trying to turn emergency rooms into walk-in birth control, like abortion clinics, right? And it's like, the percentage of people who want or seek out an abortion, even if it's just to not be pregnant, and there's nothing morally wrong with that. Like,
no.
Okay, I got pregnant, didn't want to, whether I was on birth control or not, whatever the circumstances were, I do not want to carry this pregnancy. Like, okay, those are very, very few and far between. And even there's a myriad different issues or reasons why people get abortions beyond just that one. And even then, abortions are few and far between. This is a medical service that women are not going to be knocking down doors to seek out left and right. And you're right. They're difficult to have. They're emotional decisions to make. They're difficult decisions to make.
Well, not all the time. I know some people that had it taken care of and it wasn't that difficult and they don't look back at it wrong. It's going to be a case-by-case basis.
You're
for
right.
Sure.
You're right. But there are those cases like you were talking about where they want to have the pregnancy. Like, my cousin had an ectopic pregnancy and had to terminate it. And she was crushed by it. And to this day, she has enough damage down there that she can't have children. Right. And it was a very, very big deal and it was life threatening. So that's kind of what I mean is, like, it's not like every single woman who's seeking out an abortion is like, well, no big deal, I'm going to go get an abortion. And even if a few do, fine, no big deal. What I'm saying is like the hyperbole, like the message around this is getting warped to the point where I almost want to shift the discussion away from abortion into birth control, because these same people, they're like, well, they're just using abortion as a form of birth control. Well, okay. Why isn't that kind of stuff more readily available? Why isn't pregnancy, like, even if it's like the morning after pills, why aren't those more readily available? Why do people have to pay so much for birth control? Why do they have to go through all these hoops, and like, especially teenagers and people who are underage who have to get their parents' permission and stuff like that. And if they have a parent who is anti-birth control, then now they have no avenue to getting other than, sure, condoms, absolutely. They're fairly easy to get, but it seems to me like the people who are arguing against the birth control are also arguing against the abortions and saying that every single person is going to get an abortion. And it makes me want to back the conversation up one step and say, well, why don't we do more to help people have good physical health and prevent the pregnancies to begin with, or to terminate it right off the frickin' bat, like the morning after they have sex with somebody. And why make it this big, huge deal? Just to prevent, like, making it harder and harder to prevent the pregnancy to begin with. And even then, I want to be perfectly clear to the audience, that doesn't mean that if we improve birth control and make it more readily available, that abortions should therefore be illegal, right? Because I've known people, like, my twins were conceived on birth control, right? So, like, people, birth control fails. It doesn't always work. And
even if you weren't using it and you happen to get pregnant when you weren't planning on it, sometimes, and it's not always a good, smart choice to do, but like I've said earlier, condoms do diminish feelings, and some people get in the moment and they're just like, fuck it, I want to feel this. And they end up having more fun, but less safe sex. And I don't think, I think that's not a moral issue. It's maybe a logic issue, and definitely shouldn't be happening if you're not trying to have babies, because that's a good way to have a baby. But it's still, those people should be just as, should be able to get abortions just as much as the next person.
Yeah, so I agree. We can talk all day about responsible sex, safe sex, how to teach people, how to encourage people, how to, you know, make things more readily available to them. But I honestly think that at the end of the day, it's almost like a punishment. Like, we send people to jail for murdering people, but you're going to now put these people in a position of raising a child that they're not ready to raise, potentially having each other in their lives indefinitely, right? Like, I have a child with another man, and we're going to be in each other's lives forever now. Like, thankfully we don't see each other much or really need to interact, but that's not ever going to change.
Some people get stuck in abusive relationships that way,
right? Or marriages, or yeah,
because a baby's a strong anchor, and like it's really hard. I know people trying to get sole custody because the person that they were with before was an abusive dick, and because there's a baby involved, there's a long process, and it's stressful on everybody put up with that kind of thing. Not everybody should, if it's abusive and like they're afraid for their health because of the guys hitting them or knocking them around, they shouldn't be stuck tethered to that person.
Well, okay, so I'm just looking at it from me, a prospective parent point of view. I find out I'm pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant. It's easier for me to just terminate the pregnancy right off the bat and have the legal and medical means to do so safely.
With you so far.
Boom, done. To force me to get all the way through that pregnancy and then give it up to adoption. But then once you get to that point, suddenly it's easy. Like, it's really, really, really fucking hard to get the abortion, right? Depending on where you're at, depending on what your laws are. They make it incredibly hard to get that abortion. And this is from my perspective as the prospective parent, right? The person who's pregnant who does not want to be pregnant. I'm saying they make it really hard on you to just end the pregnancy. But then, hey, once you're forced to carry it, once you're forced to give birth, just give it away, right? Like, it's easy for you to adopt it out to a family member. It's easy for you to put it up for adoption. And again, maybe emotionally not super easy. I might be hyperbolizing a little bit. But I guess I'm just saying it as a little bit of bitterness from the perspective of a womb owner who would hypothetically be forced to grow a life inside of me if I wasn't wanting to, right? That it's a little bit contradicting to me as the person who has to do the growing, that you're not going to allow me to get a relatively easy, relatively simple procedure safely done legally in the hands of a doctor, but you'll allow me to just like give up my child once it's born.
Well, it's because they don't understand the hardships on the bodies. Their whole thing is that is getting the baby out of the fucking body. Once it's out of the body and it's still living with somebody else, the adoption thing doesn't matter. That's they're giving you a quick out so that the baby was actually produced alive. I'm not saying it's a good
Right.
argument, but I'm saying that's what they care
Purple.
about, is the fact that the baby was alive and we're not going around murdering babies. Once it's alive, getting into the foster system, like I've said, I know a lot of atheists make the argument of it goes into the foster system and then it you're just leaving it up to whether or not it's going to get adopted. From what I've read, and I can't say that I'm an expert, babies get adopted very easily. It's when they get into the
Right.
older numbers that
Yeah.
the foster system really fails.
And you're right. If you look at it just from the anti-abortionist's perspective of, well, we want to maintain that life and make sure it stays alive, but we won't force you to raise it. We'll take it away and we'll find it a home and stuff. Yeah, I get it from their perspective. I just kind of wanted to voice the other side and how frustrating and contradicting it can be. Like, just it's easy, it's quick, it's like.
Oh yeah, the way they summarize it is definitely contradictory to reality. Is the
Yeah.
best way I think I can somewhat understand what you're saying as a wombless individual.
So that kind of brings us to the end of our show. And I know that like we are both very one-sided on our views of abortion. And so in that respect, it's kind of hard to represent both views. I think we at least articulated both views, maybe not well, but this is one of those topics that can be very polarizing. Let us know. Yeah, tell us your story or your thoughts. In the meantime, though, keep questioning.
Interrogate your beliefs and stay skeptical.
Bye for now.